From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nicole Ugrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Monday, April 20th, 2026. The Trump administration has terminated collective bargaining agreements with two unions representing several hundred workers at the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, according to labor leaders. One of the unions affected is the American Federation of Government Employees. National Vice President David Gonzalez says the move leaves workers more vulnerable.
Because now they have no safeguards in the workplace. They have no voice in the workplace. When you take away collective bargaining, there's no grievance process.
He says the union is considering a legal challenge after winning court injunctions to protect other groups of federal workers from similar actions. The terminations stem from two executive orders issued by Trump last year, stripping collective bargaining rights from federal workers at multiple agencies. Maine's Fish and Wildlife Commissioner Judy Camuso will be the next president of Maine Audubon. Camuso says the coming end of Janet Mills' term as governor caused her to ponder her future.
I kept thinking, like, what do I want to do? And I actually thought to myself, my ideal job would be president of Maine Audubon. I'm passionate about Maine. I'm passionate about our wildlife resources. And I thought if I could have any job when I finish as commissioner, it would be in that role.
Camuso spent 11 years at Maine Audubon before going to work for the state. She rose to the Commissioner of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife in 2019. She will step down from that role at the end of this month. The current head of Maine Audubon, Andy Beam, is retiring. A conservative mega donor is putting millions of dollars behind an effort to help Republican gubernatorial candidate Garrett Mason win the party primary. Steve Missler has more.
Thomas Klingenstein is a hedge fund manager and chairman of the Claremont Institute, a right-wing think tank. He's given millions of dollars to conservative PACs and recently contributed $3 million to a Maine-based PAC backing Mason. That same PAC is an offshoot of the Restoration of America Committee that spent $42 million during the 2024 election. So far, the local version has spent $2.4 million on television ads promoting Mason. The lobbyist and former leader in the Maine Senate is one of eight Republicans vying for the party's nomination on June 9th. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
With Maine's primary elections less than 2 months away, Democrats Graham Plattner and Governor Janet Mills are in full campaign mode, each in the hopes of winning the chance to challenge Republican Senator Susan Collins this fall. And while Plattner continues to draw large crowds, Mills has chosen to rely on events of much smaller scale. But will that be enough? Kevin Miller followed both candidates on the campaign trail recently and has this report.
It's a Tuesday night, and more than 250 people are gathered on the outskirts of Augusta to hear from Graham Plattner, the gruff-talking oysterman who rose from obscurity to become the apparent frontrunner in Maine's closely watched Democratic Senate primary.
This is our 54th town hall, I believe. We've been from Kittery to Madawaska. We've been from Oxford Hills all the way to Callis and Machias and everywhere in between. And we're going to keep doing it.
Every seat is filled, with more people lining the walls and the hallway. For months, polls have shown Plattner leading his chief rival in the June 9th primary, Governor Janet Mills, with David Costello trailing far behind. But Plattner has set his sights beyond the primary contest.
Yes, we need to get rid of Susan Collins. Yes, we have to turn the Senate blue. But we also have to understand that to get the things that we need for the future, that's not going to be enough. The junior senator from Maine is not going to be enough to get Medicare for all.
3 days later, Mills hit some of the same themes, but to a hand-picked group of just eight people, former lawmakers, business owners, and supporters, over sandwiches in downtown Bangor.
Well, you guys who've been in office and around office holders, you know, it's easy to go to groups and talk and say what you think they want to hear and talk in platitudes, but it's a lot harder to get stuff done.
Right.
It takes a lot of grit, gratitude, and
grace.
The Mills campaign calls these, quote, candid conversations, and this approach worked well for Mills 4 years ago when she handily defeated former Republican Governor Paul LePage.
My strategy has always been retail politics. And that's what I love to do. That's what I do. That's how I won before, and I'll win again.
But political observers say the landscape has shifted dramatically, as voters appear to be seeking change.
The polling is suggesting that the Plattner strategy seems to be working better right now with likely Democratic voters.
Ron Schmidt, a political science professor at the University of Southern Maine, says both candidates' strategies make sense, at least during a typical election year.
I think it makes sense for a fresh face to try to meet as many Mainers as possible, and that it makes sense for someone who already has a well-established governing style to stick to what they know in an election year. The surprise to me is how broad the gap is in polling, if we can trust that polling.
Primary polls are notoriously unreliable due to the relatively small numbers of voters. But multiple independent surveys taken over several months have shown Plattner leading Mills by anywhere from 7 to 38 points, and outraising her by nearly $1.5 million in the first 3 months of the year. The challenge for Mills will be to reverse Plattner's momentum, and two back-to-back events in Brunswick last week may highlight the significance of that challenge. Mills spoke for about 45 minutes at an event sponsored by the Bowdoin Democrats. She made the case that her years of accomplishments in government make her the only candidate who can, quote, go toe-to-toe with Collins and with the president.
I'm the only one in this campaign, in this primary, and in this state who's actually stood up to Donald Trump. And I'll do it again in the Senate.
24 hours later, Plattner was the featured speaker, but this time the event was sold out. Over the next nearly 90 minutes, Plattner hit his usual populist points, a system rigged to benefit billionaires, corporations, and the political elite.
We're going to beat somebody that the establishment of the Democratic Party hasn't been able to beat for 30 years. And when we do that, we're not just fighting for a Senate seat. We are fighting for the future of American politics.
Both received warm receptions from the crowd of left-leaning Bowdoin students and local residents. But the differences in style were noted by some who attended both events.
I think what he's saying is revolutionary, and that attracts me at this point.
This voter, who declined to be named, says she had planned to vote for Mills, but is most concerned about what happens in November. So after hearing both candidates, she had switched to Plattner.
I've supported Janet. I've met her several times over the years. I've watched her defeat the ex-governor, and I appreciated that immensely from her. I needed that in my life. And she's done a magnificent job, and I support everything she's done for the state. Yet, I'm hoping he can beat Susan Collins.
She's just one vote, but part of a key demographic that Mills would need to hang on to in the weeks leading up to primary day. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, data centers. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.